your growth. We had a talk before.
Yeah.
It's amazing how when you start sending out different energy, you attract different people.
That's so true. Yeah. So for me, I can even tell you the exact day it happened. It was at the Valley Integrated Pharmacy. It was actually there in the pharmacy.
Surprise, surprise.
It just
surprise.
Happens to be that that's where we're going on Monday. But it was December 4th of 2015. And what had happened is that for the last 4 years, I had worked under a grant with the USDA, working at it was the Northeast Organic Farming Association. I was their executive director, but we were funded with the USDA grant to build agricultural systems throughout
right.
the Northeast. And I became very a part of that. And I started being a national speaker on our food system and that whole thing. They defunded the program in September of 2015, and I lost my job. And I had been working on my doctorate in natural health science, and I still had not finished my dissertation, so I'm not a doctor, and I haven't done this. So I was kind of like in between, like, uh-oh, now what?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I so loved this job. This was my stepping stone, and I knew it at the time
right.
that this was a short stay. But it was... I got to meet organic farmers that believed in the soil and believed in energy, and I got to meet healers, and I got to meet the scientists on that side that believed it. Then when I started to study, it was just like all these worlds came together. So when I was out of work, I was like, okay, what's my next step? I'm not just going to be a fundraiser, just a not-for-profit executive. I need to have this purpose. I need to feel it. I need to want to wake up every morning.
Isn't that amazing, the way the universe works?
Yeah, it was my stone. That job prepared me for this, because I could not have done this, and
right.
I wouldn't have gotten my job. I wouldn't have done it to be where I am. And I went to this holistic party, which was from a Natural Awakenings magazine. I opened up. I saw this holistic party. I said, well, that's interesting. Let me go see if they have any good job ideas. I was just looking for an idea.
There we go.
What am I going to be next?
Oh, my God. Yeah, where am I going?
So I went there, and I just started talking to people, and they had all these neat jobs. And I was like, wow. And I was like, so where's your community? Where do you meet? How do you get together? What do you do? And then she said, I've never met these people. We don't have a community. And I was like, well, how do you build your business? How do you do this? Because part of what I did with the USDA was I helped people do startup businesses.
You're an organizer.
I'm an organizer. And I love startup business. I love starting businesses. And small. Because you see that passion in that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And there was nothing there. And I kept talking to other people, going, well, where do you go? Where do you go? Where do you go? And no one had anything. And that night, I went back and went, they need a sense of community. There's got to be a place to bring them together where they're all respected. Because so many times you go out, and it happened to me in organic agriculture. I went out, and people thought I was a freak. Like,
right.
Oh, you know, you don't wear tie-dye and dreadlocks. And I was like, no, really, we wear suits, and we walk among you.
Exactly.
And I was like, yeah. And so I wrote the business plan that night, and I ran it around a bunch of people I knew, and I started building a board. We do have an advisory board. Many of them are doctors or in organic agriculture or came... Some are from Washington, actually, and they said, this is it. And I had met with one doctor out in Montclair and said, oh, my goodness, this is exactly what I was looking for. She's an MD who left to go into homeopathic medicine.
Good.
And she said, I hired a business coach who just didn't get me, and I wish you were there. I wish, and it just kind of sealed it all for me. And I went, okay. This is something that I know how to do. I know how to build businesses. I love doing it. I don't compete with any of you. I understand the science. And right. if I don't, when you explain it to me, I'll get it.
Exactly.
And I can teach you how to market. So you do your thing. I'll get you business. And that's how we started the community. The community itself, though, has really grown to be even better than I had expected in my head, because people say, hey, I need this, or I need this, or this would be more helpful for me. Or they started their own mastermind groups, and really I'm just the catalyst.
It's amazing how many people have never heard of a mastermind group. I mean, that came out in 1937 with Napoleon Hill.
Yeah.
And Think and Grow Rich, which I had a signed copy of that book by him.
Oh, that sits on my desk.
Yeah. A mastermind group. If you hang out with naysayers or dream stealers, mm-hmm. you'll never go anyplace.
That's right.
And that's why you need people who support you. And I don't mean financial support. I mean emotional support. Emotional support is much more important than financial support.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have the emotional support, you'll blow the finances.
So that's so true.
It is.
I have so many people that, especially at the end of the year when we did business plans, that just wrote me thank you notes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I knew. I was like, you know what? This is what I'm supposed to do. This is my authentic
self. So you awakened.
I awakened. And what we were talking about earlier before the show was I saw the people around me change.
Mm-hmm.
And that was because I was becoming who I was supposed to be. And
exactly.
You see it. Yeah.
Exactly. Earl Nightingale, a long time ago, made the comment. He said, as you climb up the mountain, he said, a lot of people will start going with you, but they'll fall back. He said, as you get near the top, the one or two people that are still with you will be your good friends. You'll breathe cleaner air, and the view is better. And he said, a lot of people don't want to climb the mountain. It's too much work.
Yeah.
You know, and the mountain, of course, you know, and I know, it's a metaphor for growing in life.
Yeah.
So my friend Paula, by the way, calls me Meta Bob. She said, you speak in metaphors all the time. I said, well, that's people understand metaphors.
That's right.
At a deeper level.
Yeah.
So, so anyhow, yeah, people ask me how I found my purpose. I said, I don't know. I said, I was guided. I was guided into it. And you were too.
I feel that now.
Yeah.
I know that when I look at where I am, and if you look back, and people actually make fun of me when they look at my resume, they're like, what are you, 70? Like, how did you do all of those things? And I said, every 2 years I moved up or I moved out.
Right.
That was always my goal. I didn't know why.
Right.
Someone told me that when I was in my 20s.
It was internal.
And it was, I knew I liked this, so I learned that. I knew I liked this. And I have these weird degrees. My first one's in psychology. My second one's an MBA in business. And my third one's a doctorate in medicine. None of them make sense.
We have to go to break,
okay.
But hang in there. We will be back. This is becoming more and more fascinating. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Frank Peluso, Frank Peluso Photography, and I belong to the Chamber because it works.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Okay, we're back. We're back to continue this, to me, I hope to you out there, fascinating conversation. Now, being as how it's so fascinating, where were we?
I think we were just talking about our finding your authentic path.
Exactly, exactly. Because everybody came to this earth with a purpose.
Right.
Unfortunately, a lot of people, the vast majority...
U.S. USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
I'm not going to allow, with my vote in the Senate, North Korea to develop a missile with a nuclear weapon on top to hit America.
Senator Lindsey Graham joining the chorus of Republicans who are siding with President Trump against North Korea. The president today keeping up pressure on China to resolve the continuing crisis with the North Koreans. Earlier today, Trump said the economic lifeline to North Korea is China, and if China wants to solve the North Korea problem, they will. Defense Secretary James Mattis meeting with his counterparts in Israel. He addressed the media after his day of meetings.
During this meeting, we had another in-depth conversation, sharing a keen appreciation for the security situation facing Israel and our friends in the region.
Over 90,000 people in the San Francisco area are finding themselves in the dark. Pacific Gas and Electric says a fire inside insulation in a transfer station is to blame. The outage shut down a federal courthouse. USA Radio News.
You love your pet, right? So imagine if you were suddenly faced with thousands of dollars in veterinary care. What would you do? Could you make the difficult decision not to help your best friend? If you join PetSavingsUSA.com, you never have to make that choice or face those kind of expenses. That's because PetSavingsUSA members enjoy discounted pet insurance to cover both standard and emergency vet bills. In addition, members save up to 50% on staples like food, toys, and treats, all at major pet retailers. You'll love the money you'll save, the convenience you'll enjoy, and the peace of mind knowing your beloved pet is fully protected. Call now to take advantage of 2 free months of pet insurance and an instant $100 in savings. Call 877-835-6060. That's 877-835-6060. Or go to PetSavingsUSA.com. Call or click now for your free gift, plus 2 free months of pet insurance. Call 877-835-6060 or visit PetSavingsUSA.com.
A proposal going around Congress to put an additional tax on soldiers, not very popular with veterans groups. Here's Chris Barnes.
Veterans groups are blasting a proposal to charge service members more than $2,000 for benefits under the GI Bill. The play in the House Veterans Affairs panel will take up next week would deduct $100 a month from the pay of armed services members who sign up to receive education benefits after they leave the military. In Washington, I'm Chris Barnes.
President Trump held a special meeting at the White House.
We are very happy to have Aya back home. It's a great honor to have her in the Oval Office with her brother.
The president meeting with Egyptian-American aid worker Aya Hizazi. The Trump administration negotiated with Egypt to get her released from an Egyptian prison after 3 years. White House spokesman Sean Spicer said the president was directly engaged in the efforts to free her. The 30-year-old charity worker boarded a special flight back to the U.S. Human rights organizations said the charges against her were bogus. USA Radio News.
You check things all the time, like your email every 10 seconds, or your ex's Instagram. But what about checking something as important as your credit? Well, Discover makes it quick, easy, and best of all, free. Discover is now offering FICO credit scores to everyone for free, even if you're not a customer. And checking your score won't hurt your credit. We call it the Discover Credit Scorecard. And once you know your score, you should check to see if your current credit card is the best fit for you. Check your credit, compare your card. Go to discover.com/creditscorecard. Limitations apply.
Really, it's a great example nationally of the power of the public. This is why we have the Amber Alert system.
Well, good afternoon. It's Friday afternoon and 21st of April. Can we believe it? It feels more like February out there. And in fact, what are we going to have about weather this weekend? Well, let's see. According to the temperature today, it is about 56 degrees, and we can expect this evening, if I can get the weather up, yes, this evening it's going to be cloudy, and tomorrow mostly cloudy, and let's see, I can't seem to get, well, high of about 62 degrees tomorrow, which is not bad. A little bit cooler than we'd like, but it will be mostly cloudy, so that won't be a nice sunny 62 degrees. By tomorrow night, slight chance of showers, low of about 40 degrees. And then on Sunday, again, another slight chance of showers, high of about 63 degrees. Doesn't look good. Although there may be partly sunny in the afternoon or maybe even in the morning. This is not a good weekend to spend a lot of time outdoors or at least plan on it. It might be you know, if it's 20% slight chance of showers means 80% that it wouldn't be. But it doesn't look like we're going to have a lot of sun over the next few days, including Monday, where we have about a 50% chance of showers, both Monday during the day and Monday night. So that's the weather forecast. And I'm Pat Smits, and we'll be back in just a minute, and we'll talk about some of the things that are in the legal news this week and the past couple weeks, because we weren't here because of the holiday. So let me tell you who brought you the weather, and then we'll be back, as I said, and try to bring you up to date on some of the legal news and some of the cases that have been decided.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Well, we're back. The program, It's the Law. I'm Pat Smits. I'm an attorney here in Hunterdon County. Most of you or many of you know me. I only handle family law cases. And so what I try to do in this program is bring some general news when I don't have a guest. And I have to get some more guests coming in because it's not been easy. Frankly, Friday afternoon, too many people who've worked hard all week are trying to head out or trying to finish up everything they have to do before they're heading out. But we'll over the next few weeks, we're going to have some people in because I think they can discuss in topics with more depth. And I always enjoy learning lots about the law. And I know none of you want to hear every week about family law. So what is happening? Well, in the news, the Division of Workers' Compensation has jurisdiction over the case of a New Jersey resident who was hurt on an out-of-state job site but was at home in New Jersey when he accepted the offer of employment. So that's what the appellate division ruled, that he could, in fact, bring his case here in New Jersey. We'll talk a little bit more about that. The other thing, there's a big issue about Stryker Orthopedics and the lawyers who have sued them over recalled hip implant components. And the lawyers wanted a single judge to oversee about 30 cases that were filed in the past year. Now, at the top of their list was U.S. District Judge Frank Donovan, not a judge in New Jersey, a federal judge in Minnesota. And apparently he's the obvious choice, because he's overseen thousands of cases brought over another hip replacement or implant case, hip implant case that was settled, and it was settled for over $1 billion. But it makes sense when you have so many of these cases to have one judge overseeing them. And this is what happens often. And it certainly happens in New Jersey with certain cases. And it makes a lot of sense because many of these cases are very complex. Many of them are very intricate. And you can get a judge who becomes very knowledgeable and really can help settle these cases, which, you know, need to be settled and are usually settled at some point. So one of the things and concerns for many businesses is that fairly soon, an estimated 150,000 businesses in the United States will receive the bad news from the U.S. Government that it's from Citizenship and Immigration Services, that they will not be considering their H-18 petitions for for skilled foreign workers. And what has happened for a long time in the United States is when businesses cannot find skilled U.S. workers to fill their needs, they're able to hire foreign workers. And if I said H-1, it's an H-1B visa is what it is. I think I misstated that. So it's the H-1B visa that allows skilled foreign workers to come to the United States and work for companies here. And there are some restrictions on that. And frankly, there's been criticism of the program as to whether or not businesses here in the United States really look that hard for workers, skilled workers in the United States before trying to get H-1B visa holders. But it is an important program, and it's certainly what other countries might call a brain drain, because, in fact, we do get the best and the brightest to come here under H-1 visas. So apparently that is going to be cut drastically because there's a lottery and 150,000 businesses will not be considered and will not have their H-1 petitions considered. So again, whether this is too drastic, certainly time will tell, but it's certainly a significant change as to what's been happening. And I know I've had clients who have worked here on H-1B visas. Some of them are then able to get green cards and become permanent residents, or, in fact, apply for citizenship. So this, if, in fact, businesses don't have and can't find U.S. workers to fulfill these jobs, we are going to be hurting because we're not going to have the skilled workers we need. On the other hand, it may be some pressure to make bigger efforts to find U.S. citizens who can fill these jobs. So that will be certainly in the news in the future. One of the things that, as lawyers, we know that depositions are often a critical discovery tool in civil litigation. And we don't tend to do as many depositions in family law, in matrimonial cases. It depends. I mean, certainly if there was a premarital agreement that someone's challenging, we probably will do that. I know that there are some attorneys who routinely take the depositions of psychologists if there is a custody case. Personally, I don't for lots of reasons. But if you need to get certain data and you want to pin down data, and certainly in civil cases, depositions are very important. And they generally provide a litigant or the litigant's attorney the ability to ask a broad array of questions to a witness in real time and to potentially kind of lock in the testimony on a critical issue in the case. And apparently there's a rule changing the deposition testimony in the federal, in what we are is the Third Circuit. So there's going to be some changes there. So there have been a number of cases that are unpublished that are not precedent setting. I will, of course, talk about some of them, but mainly I'd like to talk today about some of the more important legal news. So what else is happening? Our Chief Justice has now said that recent arrests by U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement of people attending proceedings in New Jersey courts. He's asked the agency to declare courthouses off limits for future arrests. And certainly it might be a nice and easy way for the immigration to arrest undocumented people who are in this country. On the other hand, it's also very important for everyone, including undocumented people, to have access to our courts. And I was in court yesterday, and I certainly know that in that case, the father of the children who is required to pay child support is undocumented. Now, isn't it more important, it certainly seems to me that it's more important for these children to be getting child support. And, you know, it's a catch-22 if, in fact, he would be arrested in the courthouse and deported, because then his kids aren't going to be supported other than by the mom who can't do it all. So it's, you know, these are, every time you look at one issue in the law, there's usually a countervailing argument to at least take a look at. Now, the First Amendment suit by an Atlantic City strip club seeks to halt enforcement of a state law making it a crime for restaurants and clubs to advertise a BYOB policy, which is, of course, bring your own bottle. Don't know much about that. Seems a little strange that some restaurant can't advertise that you can bring your own bottle. It's always not a happy scene if you walk in a restaurant that you're not aware of, and I guess most of us now would ask, but and unaware that, you know, they don't have a liquor license and expected you to bring your own wine. Now, the New Jersey Attorney General was asked to address by lawmakers Wednesday was the Department of Law and Public Safety's proposed budget reductions and what they were and how that might square with outside legal fees. So it's lots of topics going on. There are really cuts in the courts. Things are not getting filed promptly. The court fees are going up. It's really getting very expensive just from a fee standpoint these days to get divorced. So anyway, they're always cutting the courts and cutting, you know, you wouldn't think so, but certainly in the court system we see it, anybody who's been in the court system for a while. And they have great people. I mean, the staff, I sometimes am just amazed at how much they actually do. But is another issue in the United States, the option for taking parental leave, it's limited. Now, federal and many state laws entitle U.S. employees to take some time off from work to care for a child. The leave is unpaid unless a generous employer has a policy providing for paid leave. So this means that taking time to care for a child is not easy for many American families. And in some countries, of course, that's the usual. It's expected that people, parents of new children, parents of sick children, are going to be entitled to take time off. So is the wait for federally mandated paid parental leave over? I mean, that's a question. I haven't heard anyone say that they're holding any hope that this will be done soon, but who knows? The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission enforcement tool may soon be reined in by the United States Supreme Court, or at least that seemed to be what might be happening after the justices heard arguments on Tuesday of this week. And this is a case of a New Mexico investment advisor convicted of fraud over more than two decades. So is the court going to cut back their enforcement power? I don't know, but we'll see what happens with that case. Now, a defense contractor is slapped with a multimillion-dollar judgment for age discrimination. So we know the baby boomers are the second largest population group in the nation, and that as 3 years ago, believe it or not, 46.2 million baby boomers were age 65 or older. So our that group, many of us in it, is certainly expanding. So the question is there going to be age discrimination when older people are, you know, let go from jobs or not hired, or, you know, should they be? Should there be mandatory retirement? Obviously, there are lots of folks that believe there shouldn't be. Here in our court system, we have mandatory retirement, age 70. Many of the judges go back on recall, and many more go to private firms and have productive careers after being on the bench for many years. So all of these things, and some people need to retire early, many others don't, and the question is, should they be forced out of jobs? So why don't we be back in just a couple minutes. I'm going to play a couple spots from our sponsors, and we'll be back for more legal news.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Well, we're back for more of It's the Law. And there's a constitutional law case that was approved for publication. And this is the United States U.S. Court, federal court. And in that case, the township officials appealed the denial of their motion to dismiss and their qualified immunity claims. So the what happened is the appellees contacted the township over their neighbor's encroachment into a public wetland. And the township eventually gave the neighbors permission to mow the open space they had cleared in the wetland. The appellees notified the township that they intended to sue neighbors for encroachment and the destruction of open space. And they protested the township's failure to protect the space and noted that the township, as owner of the land, would be an indispensable party in the litigation. Now, the Board of Supervisors interpreted this as a threat to sue the township, and they replied that it would seek sanctions for frivolous litigation. Now, there is a statute in New Jersey where someone can seek sanctions if it's totally frivolous litigation. And this is very closely defined. It's very rare that someone will, in fact, get sanctions for frivolous litigation, but it is possible. So that's what the township threatened. And they told the appellee, the people, in other words, the township, the defendant officials, they were the ones that appealed. And so they're the ones that told the other side to only communicate with the township attorney in the future. So in other words, they were told that they couldn't even talk to anyone else in the township other than the attorneys. So they sued the township, asserting violations of their First Amendment rights to free speech and to petition the government. Remember, we have First Amendment is a very broad free speech. You can't yell fire in a crowded theater, but it is we have freedoms here that are protected by the Constitution, and that's what they said. They said, wait a minute, you can't stop us from contacting other people in the township, other government officials, and limit us to just the attorney. So, and they claimed that this was done in retaliation. Now, the supervisors, meaning the township supervisors, argued that they had qualified immunity. And certainly, many government officials do have qualified immunity, and they should. In other words, if they're doing their job, they shouldn't risk getting sued. But in this case, there was the defendants, so to speak. Actually, they were the ones who sued. They pled a retaliation claim based on the no-contact email, which prohibited them from contacting town officials and from contacting employees for any reason. But the right was not clearly established. So the no-contact email also violated their right to petition the government, but that right was also not clearly established for qualified immunity purposes. So this is a rather convoluted case, a very specific case, but certainly anyone who's trying to deal with township government or town government, especially some of them township in Hunterdon County, might take a look when they seem to be shutting you down. But guess what? Our New Jersey state troopers don't have a contractual right to travel to and from work on the toll roads without having to pay their way. So it's kind of like the old days where they said all the cops could get free coffee. Well, guess what? They can't get free rides on the toll roads in New Jersey. There's another case. Well, there's an issue of application versus registration, and it deals with people who have original work, and someone says that it's been copied, and they want to file an infringement suit. And the problem often is that the person never registered his work with the United States Copyright Office, so that copyright law is very specific. Most of us do not handle it. There are a few attorneys who do, and they're the ones that you need to talk to if, in fact, you have an original work that you're concerned about and you need a copyright, or you need to find out if you need a copyright. They're now in the Third Circuit again. This is the Third Circuit, which is part of New Jersey. They determined that an employer who was both certain and wrong that an employee misused his leave could escape liability under the Family Medical Leave Act. And so that even though apparently, and I haven't read this case, I'm just reading a blurb, it doesn't quite make sense, but that's apparently if you have any concerns about that, you should follow up on that case. It was CAPS versus Mondelez Global. There was a large antitrust case, Lipitor antitrust litigation. That again, that was a Third Circuit case, and they were the court in that case considered consolidated appeals of two actions that were alleging that the pharmaceutical manufacturers holding the patents for Lipitor and Effexor delayed other manufacturers' efforts to bring generic version of those drugs to market. So that, again, these are, you know, most of these cases no one's going to be personally interested in, but if you are, you can find almost a case on almost anything reported. There was a civil rights case, again, this was a Third Circuit case, and they found that the district court, that would be the district federal court, was in error when they granted summary judgment in favor of a condominium association and individuals in the Fair Housing Act and reasonable accommodation claims. And so that they said that they were wrong when they said they could not hold that fair housing claims did not survive the death of a party. So they reversed and vacated it in part, and they said that the people who appealed, these were condominium residents who suffered from disabilities and were each prescribed an emotional, emotional assistance. They had an emotional support animal. This is getting to be a very big issue as to just who, it's not so much who qualifies, but, you know, what's qualified as a support animal. And in this case, each obtained a dog and attempted to request an accommodation for an emotional support animal. So they wanted the association obviously did not allow pets, and the association took no action based on those requests. Now, other residents complained to the board about the dogs, and the people who appealed asserted their right to a service dog under the fair housing laws, and the board fined them for violating the no dog rule. So obviously for anyone moving into a condominium, you have to look very carefully at what the association rules are, and are people who have service animals, that's an exception. And just how and what is a service animal, and I should say what is a service animal, because there are people who, you know, obviously they want a dog, and they're saying that the dog is going to be an accommodation for an emotional issue that they have. So this is becoming more, you see it on planes today, you see many, many more animals, especially dogs, that are considered emotional support animals. And I'm not trying to make light of it for those people who really need a support animal, but there are people who are pushing the limits, just like people push the limits in every other way. In any event, in this case, after a new board president was elected, they submitted new requests for accommodation, and those were granted, and the accrued fines that they had incurred were waived. And so in this case, they filed civil rights cases under the Fair Housing Act, asserting that the association denied their requests for accommodation in violation of 42 U.S.C. And the association and named individuals interfered with the exercise of their fair housing rights in violation of 42 U.S.C. And there's obviously more to that statute. And then one appellate died when the case was pending. And so the other side moved for summary judgment. So the district court dismissed the deceased party's Fair Housing Act claims due to her death and denied the other appellant's fair housing claims on the merits. So they filed motions to substitute representatives for the deceased and then appealed the dismissal of their claims. So the Third Circuit exercised review over whether a Fair Housing Act claim survived the death of a party and over the grant of summary judgment. So the court in this case looked to the Fair Housing Act and found that the act was silent as to whether claims under the act survived the death of a party. So the court determined that the district court committed error in applying this section, and in turn, they applied statutes found within three titles of the revised statute. Now this kind of goes on and on, but the parties in this case disputed whether the appellants barred the association from reviewing their paperwork or merely asking that their privacy be respected. So they go on and on in these cases. They get very, very complex. So now there's some new Supreme Court case that made a lot of sense. And there's a recent state Supreme Court ruling that sales contracts, real estate sales contracts, can be voided by email or fax. And it also recognizes the fact that that's been a long time coming, so you don't have to send certified letters any longer. But it recognizes, the court recognized how lawyers conduct business in this age of instantaneous communication. And that's certainly, the case that, most of us are using email. I guess the question would be how you prove it. So that will still be an issue. But someone can't any longer say, oh, you didn't get something to me in hard copy, meaning the real estate contract, because there's time to review it, and they can't use that as an excuse. So there was a patent suit that was held meritless, and the Roxanne Laboratories must pay legal fees and costs of the two defendants after filing a patent infringement suit that was what the court called exceptionally meritless. So that's what we call frivolous lawsuits. And the federal judge said that as a result, the Roxanne Laboratories has to pay legal fees. Because usually, other than certain cases, each party pays their own legal fees. And that can be one of the biggest problems, is the cost of legal fees. And very often, I'm not saying in family cases, but in other cases, people need to really decide whether it's worth it to fight a case, because the legal fees could be more than what they'll ever collect. Again, as I said, there's so many cases that are not published. There's one, for example, and they use initials, MS versus JS, and that was an appellate case. And in that case, the parties were married in 1999, and like a lot of other people, they didn't live in one place. JS, in that case, is English, and the other party is Canadian, and the family lived in England, until the plaintiff's relocation to the United States, and that was in 2007 with the party's two daughters, who are now teenagers. And the defendant, I mean, if we have initials, so it sounds to me like the defendant was a husband, and he remained in England. And when I say sounds like, you know, if you read the case, you're sure he is, because he is referred to as he, and he was incarcerated for 2.5 years for financial fraud. So while he was imprisoned, he threatened his wife, or I think she was still, they were still married at that point, during a telephone conversation. So as a result, she obtained a final restraining order under the Domestic Violence Act. So even though he was in prison, obviously not able to take action on the threat, or probably not unless he told her he was going to hire a hitman, she was able to get a final restraining order. Now, that order barred the father from contact with the mother or with the children. Now, subsequently, an amended order was issued permitting contact between the father and the children through letters, and also directing that reunification visitation therapy commence. So the order resulted in a Skype session or sessions between the father and the children, and then he appealed an order that suspended without explanation the 2-year therapeutic reunification process conducted over Skype. Now, the order also continued the defendant's obligation to provide information regarding his convictions and his visa applications. So the appellate court in this case reversed and indicated that apparently the defendant recorded the Skype sessions without consent. And so therefore, and then he sent some of these tapes to show to his therapist to obtain guidance as to how to interact with his daughters. So, of course, he was saying he did this because he wanted to learn how better to interact with his daughters. And the issue is privacy and whether or not he had the right to do that. So he did agree that he would no longer record any sessions, and therefore, meaning the Skype sessions where they were doing reunification therapy. So the appellate division said that when he agreed that he would not record the sessions, then they should have continued in the normal course, focused towards the goal of face-to-face contact when therapeutically possible. So the appellate division said that the record did not support the suspension or termination of the sessions that were done by Skype. Now, the record did not include any findings of fact or conclusions of law to support the orders. So that's always the important thing. Has a judge made findings of fact and reached conclusions of law? And, you know, so often they're so busy that sometimes they don't do that. And then on appeal, the appellate division will say, do it over. And in this case, do it over and make findings of fact and conclusions of law. In fact, I'm involved in a case right now where the appellate division remanded a case, and the issue in that case was the judge did not make findings of fact or conclusions of law on one of the issues. So there has to be a redo on that issue because he's going to have to make specific findings of fact and conclusions of law. So in this case where the dad wanted to reunification therapy, the appellate court concluded that he was entitled to therapeutic reunification visitation, and it was also the panel noted that there was a lack of any relevance between his convictions and the children, or I should say the contact with the children. So, you know, if you're incarcerated, you know, they're usually, depending on what the charge was, obviously, but usually that does not prohibit someone from having visitation rights. Well, in legal news, since I'm talking about legal news, I want to tell you that Arthur Greenbaum, a leading real estate lawyer who helped expand Greenbaum, Roe, Smith, and Davis from what was initially a family-run law firm into a full-service business firm, died on Tuesday. He was 91 years old. There are some real giants in the field, believe me, that if we don't know them personally, we all know of them. So we'll be back in just a minute after I give you some more spots from our sponsors, and then we'll be back shortly with the sports guys.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Well, I guess that is a ad in Spanish. I'm not sure we have many Spanish listeners, but certainly important. And I thought it was going to be translated in Spanish and English, but in fact it is. I listened to part of it. I think it is the same ad that we hear about NAMI and Hunterdon in English.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con...
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, Celebrant Officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Well, if it would actually be worth joining the chamber just to get to know Ruth Ann Brown. She's a great lady. She does so much for the community. In fact, if you don't know about it, tomorrow night there is a fundraiser for the Warren County Habitat for Humanity at Hawk Point. I think there's probably still availability. It's a really great organization. I think that the house that they're either building or about to build this year is going to be for a veteran. And not only is it a great fundraiser, but it's a fun night. So if there's anyone out there that is still thinking about attending, either call Ruth Ann Brown. I'm sure you could probably call Hawk Point or, you know, go online for not Hunterdon Habitat for Humanity, Warren Habitat for Humanity. actually wonderful, worthwhile fundraiser, and Hawk Point always has good food. I'm attending tomorrow night, and looking forward to the dinner, and there'll be